This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
You're listening to the Scarf Pagara War, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. And charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans.
Hello and welcome to the last county courtyard club call of the season. We're going to deep dive into the narrow loss against that club over the border that cannot be named without a tweet telling me we are obsessed. And as always, I am joined by Dan. How are we doing, Dan?
Yeah, not too bad, matey.
Good. Yeah, I'm all good. And also, Jimmy. How are we doing, Jimmy? You okay, mate?
Very good, thanks, Waggy.
Good, good, good. So, yeah, we're going to deep dive into the game on Saturday. Very late on Friday night, I managed to bag a ticket. So, I actually went to the game. I'm guessing you two guys watched it on the official stream because, obviously, there's no blackout on the last game of the season. So, it was there for everybody to watch.
Yeah, I got the dulcet tones of John Kieran as always. So
excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, me too.
So, yeah, so did the normal, go through the lineup, bit on formation, go through how the first half went, how the second half went, who we think man of the match was, ref watch. I think that'll be a big one for this week. And then that's it for this season. As the courtyard club call, we will possibly try and do some England ones when the Euros come around, but that's not confirmed yet. But we'll get into that obviously later on. So, start off with the lineup. Ben Hinchliff in goal. Looks like we were playing a back three of Burnt, Horsfall, and Pye. Then we had Hippolyte left wing back, Camps, Powell, and Lemony Evans right wing back, Sars just behind the front two, and a front two of Wotton and Barry. Any surprises for you there, Jimmy? Anybody you didn't think was going to play or did play?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on the left side with Touré and Bristow. Obviously, Hippolyte came in. Was that his last game for the club? Who knows? Maybe. I think he was right to play a back three. Burn didn't play particularly well in my eyes, although Fotmob reckons that he was the best of our central defenders. and again, I think maybe that might be his last game as well. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. So was that your two surprises, Hippo and Burn, really starting?
I guess with Akko Wright being out still, Byrne had to come in. You can't play anybody else in a back three, really, can you? Noyle's also injured as well. So once again, we're back to the walking wounded, aren't we? But yeah. They were my two surprises. And potentially Barry starting the game as well. I think he'd have been better off coming off the bench at half time to terrorise their defence.
Yeah. Any surprises for you, Dan?
Yeah, like Jimmy said, I think we've sort of down to a bare bones again a little bit, and square pegs in round holes as such, and say like you say, maybe some players getting a run out for the final time. Like I say, the one that I really would have liked to see and I think would have done well was Bailey. Obviously, he's not on the subs bench either, so just an assumption that he must have had a knock or an injury. But yeah, it's like you say, that they're all players that have, apart from Hippolyte, who hasn't had much game time due to injury, the rest have had quite a lot of game time this season. So they're not, you know, they're worthy contenders to get in a start. So, you know, and like you say, that team is a competitive team on paper.
Yeah, and you say, I think it was just, and I know there was, we didn't want to lose the game. We wanted to win it to keep up and to, you know, keep that momentum for towards the end of the season. But I think it was, I think he was sort of resting a few players. I think that was that's the way that I looked at it. As you say, still a quite a strong team on paper, but I think there was just a few people that might have been having a little niggles and stuff like that. So I think, yeah, I thought it was a decent start up. So you agree that we sort of, well, say FotMob is telling us that we played a 3-4-1-2. Do you agree that's how we set up? Did that's how it look on the stream?
Yeah, definitely three at the back. I'd Sarcevic, at times I'd say it was more of a midfield five with Sarcevic in there. But yeah, definitely. You would go with that sort of formation, three at the back for the Vlad Sarcevic in the hole. But I think it was more Wootton up front on his own and more Barry and Sarcevic sort of patrolling that area between Wootton and the midfield four.
I think Barry certainly played most of his sort of game on the left-hand side. And once again, we were relying on Connor to get up that right-hand side as well, which I think he did unbelievably well once again. I can't even remember Hippolyte affecting anything in the game, to be honest. I'm just thinking now, what did he do? Forgot he was on the pitch, maybe, as well. I think Pye was covering that left side of defence more so than Hippolyte was. But I agree, Dan, if Bailey had been on the pitch instead of Hippolyte, I think it would have been a different sort of game. Although we did control the first half extremely well, and we should have really scored more than that one goal and put the game to bed, I think.
Yeah, I think the initial sort of first 3 or 4 minutes, I thought they came out of the blocks quicker, didn't they? They created a couple of chances, which I think maybe were more of our own doing, not getting a foot in at the right place, and they just seemed to fall to them. A couple of little pop shots and stuff, wasn't there? And then, yeah, as you say, the momentum certainly swung to us, and I thought we were much the better side, and they couldn't really cope with us, could they? As you say, especially with like Barry down that left-hand side, you know, they were scared of him, wasn't they? You know, they're trying to double up on him every time, and as you mentioned, Jimmy, Lemony Evans was just really, he was putting a shift in down that right-hand side, wasn't he, up and down all game. And I think, again, as you said, I think it was Sarce that was going over and sort of creating that front three a lot of the time as well, because you've seen him sort of overlapping a lot more, didn't you, with Lemony Evans than you did with Hippo and Barry. So, yeah, what did you think the first half or the first sort of early part of the first half, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, after it sort of settled down, after sort of 5 minutes, I think we controlled and dominated the game to a certain extent. It was quite clear that their sort of front line weren't going to press us and hurry us up on the ball. And I think that was sort of the tale of two halves as such, where they didn't do it in the first half and we certainly didn't do it in the second half once we lost Barry. I thought we were quite enjoying it at times. I thought we were quite knocking the ball about. And like I said, that sort of, as much as you could see, there was sort of wanting desire to win. I think we had them a little bit rattled at times. I definitely think it was a Sarcevic going through in them first sort of few minutes. I think if that was sort of 10, 15 minutes later in the game, I think the referee gives a penalty. I think because it's so early in the game. I think it was in the first sort of 3 minutes that sort of when Sarcevic has gone through. And I definitely think it's a penalty. I think he's been pulled down for that one. Like I say, it's just disappointing that really we just had that one goal for that first half, because I think we were, you know, and it was just that one goal, one shot on target, and that's all we had one match. And I think that is the only the disappointing part of it, that we didn't really make the goalkeeper work more than what, you know, we did.
Yeah.
I think once again, it also shows how much we do rely on Tanto. And despite the guy who sits next to me constantly saying that he's rubbish and he can't shoot, the guy, when you miss him, that press that he puts in, yeah, just forces teams back. And I firmly believe that if he was up front on Saturday, we'd have won that game.
Yeah, if they've been, yeah, as you say, him, Barry and Wotton up front, I think that would have, that, as you say, it would have terrorised their defence. So we scored on 29 minutes. How did you see the goal, Jimmy, on the stream? What did you think of it?
Fantastic run down the right from Camps. Good ball into Connor, who probably miscontrolled it, if you're being honest, but somehow manages to get it out of his feet and sticks it in off the post. Fantastic finish. And the way that he celebrated, he sort of cupped his ear to the Wrexham fans behind the goal and then just kept staring at them.
Did it very briefly, didn't he?
Very briefly. And then he just
corner, yeah, and just like folded his arms, and that caused absolute uproar that he was taunting the crowd. It's just like, oh, come on, grow up. You know what I mean? If it had been like, say, Sars or Paddy that had scored that first goal, they'd have been absolute bedlam. But
did you see the first corner that Sars took in the ground? So on the stream, he basically put it about 2 feet outside of the corner flag triangle, and all the Wrexham fans were like booing him and pointing, and he just turned around to them, smiled, and then moved it back again, sort of jokingly. I thought that was really funny.
I mean, to be honest, I think Paddy and Sars were just there for the shithousery.
Yeah.
You know, because I think when we scored, Paddy was doing a Jose Mourinho up and down the line, wasn't he?
I didn't notice that, but again, I've seen lots of tweets that calling Paddy out for being unprofessional because he lifted an imaginary trophy, didn't he, to the Wrexham fans. And I believe he made a gesture to the home fans and they're all kicking off like, oh God, there was kids in the crowd and this, that and the other. He's like, well, if you're goading him, he's gonna give you some back, isn't he? So yeah. I'm sure they weren't calling in nice things, was they?
No, but, and like I say, that first half, it was, you know, like I say, I thought we were just in control of it. They were, but that was down to a lot of Wrexham allowing us to control it. They weren't pressing us. They were allowing Horsfall and Pye and Byrne to basically play out from the back with, you know, ease and comfort. Same again, we were out passing Wrexham. We had more passes than them, more accurate passes than them. And like I say, that first half, I thought we were controlling it. We had, for an away team, we had more possession of the ball than them, you know. So yeah, I think that first half, you know, we were well on top. Obviously, then we get to half time, and I think obviously the big thing is obviously Barry coming off after 45 minutes.
Yeah, do you think? I mean, going off that first half, saying about them not pressing us, and yeah, look at the stats. We had a 53% possession to their 47, 198 accurate passes against their 163. Do you think that's their style? They want to invite you onto them and then try and hit you on the break. Do you think they're more of that, whereas we're, you know, pressing from the front, we're a high press, high intensity team, and we want to try and play through you or get the ball back as high up the pitch as we can? Do you think that is the difference between the two teams? Do you think, Jimmy, do you agree with that?
They are very much a direct side, aren't they? And I think with, was it O'Connell, he seemed to be far, far better at distributing the ball than Tozer had been in the past. He was the guy that set up Wrexham's first goal. So, I mean, we know what Parky Ball is, don't we? He's not going to change. Very, very direct. Mullin puts a lot of work in. And I think Dan said before that second half, they came out and they did actually start pressing us. And that was definitely the difference, because we started losing control of the game, basically, and we started hoofing the ball up a little bit as well. So, and that midfield three that had been so good in the first half, Camps, Sarsavic and Powell, started coming undone a little bit. And then Powell came off, didn't he? And it all started unravelling a little bit.
Yeah, as you say, so we'll start the second half. Paddy Madden comes on for Louis Barry. 47 minutes, Ollie Palmer scores. He had acres of space in the middle of the park, but when you sort of freeze it, he looks as if he's offside. But from what I saw, I think it was Colin Lemonet Evans that was actually playing him onside, and he was out of shot of the camera. It was just, that was exactly what we didn't want for the start of the second half, isn't it? I think if they hadn't scored, they'd have gone a few 10, 15 minutes without scoring, I think they'd have got more frustrated. But I think that they changed their style. They started pressing more. But I also think that they started actually playing football a bit more, didn't they? They started trying those little triangles and stuff. And we will obviously come on to that with the second goal. But I think they seem to be more trying to pass it in the second half. What was your take on it, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, that obviously the equaliser, it's like you say, Ollie Palmer seems to not in the middle of nobody marking him as such. And everyone sort of switched off. But for me, if you watch back on the highlights, that comes from basically their defence and us not pressing them and allowing them to sort of carry the ball up to the halfway line. And they're allowed to then sort of make that long ball into him without Paddy and Wotton basically putting the press onto him. And that was, like I said, the difference, literally, you know, between the two halves. The first half, they're not pressing, allowing us to play out from the back. And then straight away, second half, we don't press them. We allow them to carry the ball and make that pass. And obviously, same again, you know, because they've then got the early goal in the second half, the momentum has swung to them. They've got, you know, the grit between the teeth. And unfortunately, like you say, we just don't have the, with that injury list that we've got and the players missing, you know, we know that there's, once that goal goes in, there's not much, once Paddy's on, there isn't really much else on that bench that's going to come onto the pitch to influence it or maybe change it for us.
Just on the first goal, I've seen on social media a lot of people blaming Connor for playing Palmer onside. But I've watched it back like 3, 4, 5 times, and I've got to say, what is Byrne doing? He's pushed right up, and if he's marking Palmer like he should be, like expecting a long ball to him, challenge for a header, Palmer's not scoring that goal, so I'm not quite sure what happened with that defence. And Connor, in fairness to him, broke his neck trying to get back to block the shot.
He was basically marking someone, I think, because you saw there was a red shirt that came in with Connor, wasn't there? So, you know, as you say, if he'd have pushed up with the rest of the lads, then yes, they'd have both been offside. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's not a defender. He's a right attacking midfielder. So, and he's, since he's come back, and what, 3, 4 times, I'd probably say he's played in that role, he's not really let us down, has he? Considering, as you say, he's not a defender, I think he's done a really good job there when he's been asked to.
I'd love to know whether Dave would have actually, or would say, yeah, we should have played offside there, or whether he would actually turn around as a defender himself and say, nah, that is not the point at which you play offside. Yeah, I'd love to know what his opinion on that was.
It depends, as you say, because he was, if Evans had been in line with the other three centre-backs, it'd have been 5 yards offside, wouldn't it? He'd been miles offside. So, as you say, maybe that is a bit of miscommunication, or, you know, Lemonet Evans not realising that that's what they wanted, was trying to keep a high line to get the offside and stuff. So, yeah, I think it definitely gave them a lot more momentum, which we saw, you know, the first 15 minutes or so. We made a couple of changes then on 63 minutes. We brought Rico Richards on for Nick Powell, and Torre actually came on for Hippo. Did that change the system? Do you think we changed the system, or do you think Richards sort of went back to where like Louis Barry would have been playing, sort of more up top? Or did you see him sort of, I think he sort of sat behind in where Sars started the game, and then Sars got back to Powell. And obviously Torre and Hippo is a like for like. Did you see, how did it look on the stream, Jimmy? Did you see a change in shape, or just putting different personnel in the same shape?
I would say same shape. Richards, as you said, replaced, well, Sars's position, and Sars came back a little bit. But you always find that he's never quite as effective in the as a more withdrawn midfielder. Sarsovic never quite as I don't know. He's not able to control the ball or the game quite as much, maybe, as Powell and Camps do. And he's so much better making those forward runs, I think. So I think we lost something there. And special mention to Andy Cannon, who really came into his own sort of last half hour. Again, without him, they wouldn't have won that game.
No.
I mean, obviously he scored the goal, but his overall play was absolutely brilliant, I thought. And he's the sort of player that we think, yeah, okay, well, we could have potentially had him, but there were question marks over his injury record. And I think Wrexham spent an absolute fortune on him as well, and potentially we didn't need him. But there will be question marks asked as to whether Powell... Would Cannon have been a better option for us than Powell? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
I thought that Camps was sort of more of the Cannon sort of replacement. That's my impression of signing Camps over Cannon. What did we make of Ollie Palmer's celebration while we're still talking about that goal?
I hope he does his hit.
I think he was probably just golden the fans, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But fair play to him. If he's that upset and didn't want to play again in the 5-0 against us, and that was he's been waiting 2 years for that game, then, you know, well done. Don't hold a grudge or anything.
He's not a very popular character, though, is he? Because I was on the Mansfield Matters pod early in the week with a Wrexham fan, and they absolutely hate him.
Really?
Because he played for them from 2016 to 2019, I think it was. Been to various other clubs and then come to Wrexham, and they basically said he's the guy who shall not be named, and if you mention his name, like a klaxon goes off, or they beep it out. So I never got round to asking them why they don't like him so much, but he's obviously a divisive character, isn't he? And
seems that way, yeah. But this is not having to go at Wrexham fans. This is not having to go at the Wrexham club or anything like that. But they seem to. It seems as if they almost want to have those type of players. You say you look at Mullen; he's very chalk and cheese. He's very Marmite. You either love him, as you say. If he's one of those, Mullen's one of those players that if he's in your team, he's brilliant because he's a top shit house. If you're playing against him, you hate him. You've got McLean as well. I think that he's very, you know, liked and disliked quite a bit, isn't he? And then now you've obviously got Palmer. But if Palmer's not liked by his own fans, then that's a bit too far.
He's an Adrian Heath, isn't he? If you remember that, but he's an Adrian Heath
a type Ted player.
Yeah. And like you say, he's, you know, the problem is like with most, a lot of fans is when, and Russ said it, I think, on the podcast, he doesn't like him as a footballer, you know, but there's people that will start getting obviously personal and, you know, having a go at him about his personal life, you know, footballing wise, yeah, I don't like him. But if he was in a county team, we'd all love him. So, yeah. But it was, like I say, it was a bit of a weird one. Because, like you say, I think Powell going off sort of really was the swinging point in that second half, I thought. Because, like you say, Cannon started then to sort of dictate the middle a lot more and be more influential on the game. And same again. Rico, I think, is very exciting going forward. I think he's still, obviously, he's only 20, so he's still got a lot to learn. But defensively, he's got, you know, players running off him and stuff like that, which obviously led to the second goal. I think, you know, that's the difference between, like, Bailey. I think Bailey's a little bit more nounce about him and wouldn't have allowed Cannon to run off him for that second goal.
Talk us through the second goal then.
Well, it's the same again. It's come from out the midfield, isn't it? It's and like
away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, When it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
They're little 1-2 triangles, and basically they've just run rings around Richards, and Cannon's managed to obviously 1-2 left Richards, left him marking, and managed to sort of run into the box. And you know, and same again. In all fairness, it's a cracking goal, and it's worthy to win any match, that goal, to be honest. So you can't knock him for that. Celebrations were probably a little bit more mute, I think, than what they could have been, really, from Cannon. So,
yeah, he didn't go to the away fans. He just went and looked at the home fans. He didn't do anything to the away fans, which, I, as you say, was a bit respectful, but he still did some sort of celebration. But yeah, going off that goal then, Jimmy, do you think Hinchliffe was at fault?
Yeah, 100%.
Sorry, I know this is only recorded, but as Dan was talking there, I could see Jimmy shaking his head. So you think Hinchliffe was at fault? Why? What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it came from far enough out, from a narrow enough angle, at a nice enough height, at a distance quite close to Ben, that he could have saved it. Basically, he sort of needed to move his hands maybe another couple of inches to the right hand side, or make a fist, and he could have sort of bashed that out. I'm sort of making rather weird sort of gestures with my hands here, which no one can see. But yeah, I think Ben will be disappointed with that. But I mean, keepers make mistakes, don't they? So,
but I mean, so we did miss it when watching through the highlights. He came out of his area, didn't he, in the first half? Was it the first half? Was that the second?
No, yeah, it was the first half.
I made a note.
It was, yeah, but I mean, it was brilliant that he managed to get back and just casually caught the ball. Sorry, I know we missed that when we were talking about the first half, but just remembered that when we were talking about Hinchliffe then. So
he got pretty lucky, really, because he was caught in no man's land. And I made a note saying Ben went walkies on 18 minutes, and that's pretty much what what he did. But fortunately, we had a defender to close Cannon down really quickly, so that stopped the first shot. And then Palmer just, I don't know what it was. Was it a cross? Was it a shot? I don't know. I think it was rubbish.
I think it was a shot, but it was just a soft one because he didn't think that the keeper was anywhere near it. So I think it was one of them that if a defender goes to try and head it off the line, and he probably heads it into the back of his own net anyway. But as you say, Hinchliffe had made it back for that. So it looked from the match, because we were almost behind it with Cannon's shot. I thought that Hinchliffe could have done better. It's one of those old County adages, isn't it? It's an ex-player that comes up, has one of his games of the season and scores against us. So that was disappointing that it was Cannon, but respectful for his celebrations. Did they really go at us for the last? Because that was quite late on, wasn't it? That was 88 minutes. So I think they'd done that, and then they just wanted to show up shop, didn't they, really? I think we had the ball pretty much for the rest of the match. There wasn't much added on. And then, it just petered out. I mean, I'm disappointed we didn't win, but I'm not overly bothered that we didn't win. I think if that had been 2 or 3 weeks before and there had been something riding on it, I think both teams would have upped the game. I think you would have seen a much better game. I thought it was quite entertaining, but I don't think we were quite at the levels that we would have been 2 or 3 weeks ago. Do you agree with that, Dan, or do you have a different view?
No, definitely. I think, same again, if there was something on it, I think there would have been players that would have been risked and would have been started. Same again, I would have expected maybe Barry might have played a little bit longer than 45 minutes if there was something that we risk on it and, you know, jeopardy on the game. Yeah, definitely. It's just, you know, like you say, we were the last sort of two, three games have been a bit quite, say, weird and strange for us because we've not normally in this position where, you know, our season has been finished. And in all fairness, it's been finished since Colchester.
Yeah.
When we knew that technically we're going up, and that was the dream. And then, like you say, them two wins, obviously, after it with Accrington and no, Morecambe, sorry, and then Notts County away. And it has, it's been party mode since then, really. You know, players, we don't know, obviously, you know, the players that have actually got a run out on Saturday against Wrexham, how many of them have been just given the opportunities, their farewell tour as such. You know, the players that are out injured. I think still, if we put out our strongest 11, which, same again, we haven't done all season, I don't think, put out our strongest team. I think, you know, we beat them. I think that was Wrexham's strongest team, in all fairness. I don't think there was anybody that was missing from their lineup that was a massive injury and stuff. I think that's their strongest team of the season, but I don't think that was our strongest team of the season.
Hmm. I thought Stephen Fletcher was a shithouse when he came on.
Yeah, he's always been a shithouse.
Yeah.
But he's a like-for-like-for replacement for Ollie Palmer, isn't he? Let's be honest. And, you know, and that's what they do. They sort of grind you down and then bring somebody else that's going to come on and be a bigger shithouse for the last 20 minutes and, you know, and just cause havoc and chaos. You know, I thought Wrexham, this is quite weird because, like, they mentioned it on the commentary, John Kieran, that they play out from the back, from the goalkeeper, and they play out very well until they get to the first line of defence, and then they hoof it up instead of playing through the lines like we do and other teams try to do from the back and play through the press. They don't. They just sort of play to the first line of defence from the goalkeeper and allow then the defenders to make that long ball into the front two instead of letting the goalkeeper do it. So, yeah, it's the same. Like I say, it's disappointing because we lose. It's always disappointing when we lose. Am I upset about that we lost? No. Am I upset because it's Wrexham? No. I'd still be equally upset if we lost that game 2-1 to Walsall, to be honest. You know, but, you know, that's the season's, like I say, finished for me. The Saturday before with Accrington, you know, we got the trophy. Then for me, the season, this is just, you know, just a game to tick off, isn't it? It's more of a formality than actually anything else.
Yeah, well,
the only thing that I would say is that it would have been nice to have got rid of the racecourse hoodoo, wouldn't it? I mean, we've not travelled there particularly well over the last, well, two, three years when we've had this rivalry with them. And so just going into next season, because we are in the same league as them again, it would have been nice to have just done them. So that when we go there next time, we're not thinking, oh, yeah, we've, what, three or four games on the trot that we've lost against them or whatever it is at the race course.
Yeah. That's
the only thing I would say. And the other thing I would say as well, so this is one for you, Russ. I hope you listen to this. The old six-pointer. So whilst you say that you don't believe in a six-pointer, okay, I'm going to rewind to when we beat them at Edgeley Park. And if we had lost that game, they'd have been champions and not us. So that's a six-pointer. Because we beat them by 4 points.
All right. We'll let you have.
Thank you.
We'll probably discuss that on Wednesday. On Wednesday night when Russ is around.
Yeah.
He's not here to defend himself, but
no.
But it wouldn't surprise me if this fixture at Wrexham is one of the first three or four fixtures we play in August next season. Hmm. You know,
how on earth can you predict what the schedule is going to be and how they're going to announce fixtures. God damn, man. You know?
Well, the 20th of June, isn't it, the day the fixtures come out. But it just wouldn't surprise me if this fixture at Wrexham is replayed very early in the season. You know, and like I say, just see where it goes from there. But, you know, I think next season, League One, we've got teams in there that I would say are more of a rivalry with than Wrexham, to be honest. I think next season we're not really going to be bothered. I'll be more upset if we lose to Wigan, to be honest. the next season.
Some more bigger local teams, isn't there? You say if Bolton don't go up, you've got Wigan. Who else have we got? Blackpool. I know that's not a rivalry, but it's another sort of biggest local club. So basically, let's go back to the match. Man of the match on FOTMob for us, Lemony Evans gets a 7.7, Camps a 7.5, Sars 7.2, and everybody else was below a 7. For them, strangely, the man of the match went to O'Connell at the back for them, who actually had the same rating as Andy Cannon. So who would you say was the man of the match that was wearing County blue? Would you agree it would be Lemony Evans? Do you think he was our best player? Or would we say Camps? Or is there anybody else that maybe the ratings aren't quite the same?
I think if Sarcevic scores that opportunity he had him sort of in the first half when he sort of threw on goal and he ends up sort of knocking it wide, then I think Sarcevic would have won it hands down just for his sort of shithousery, to be honest, more than anything. But like I say, Evans again, you can't knock him. Well, Challen has said that this lad needs to play consistently. And he has, since he's come back from Wimbledon, he has played consistently and he's been playing, and every performance he gets better. And what's more amazing, he's not playing in the position that we think is better for him, that or he thinks is better for him. He's playing in a position of right wing back. I'm not being funny, but next season, you've got to argue that actually he could do a job for us at right wing back. Mm. Is he better than Maka in that position?
I just think he's a bit more flexible. So Dave does like a flexible sort of defence, doesn't he? So if you've got Noyle or Wright as the right-sided defender in a three, they can easily shuffle over to be a right back, and that means Connor can go up. I don't think Macca's quite got that ability to do that. And the thing that I would say about Connor as well, I mean, I'd love to see his interception stroke tackling stats, because he's so good at getting that foot in, isn't he?
Yeah.
And just robbing a ball off somebody and then setting an attack up as well, in fairness. I think he's probably one of the best in the team, maybe just behind Powell at doing that. But he stays on his feet a lot as well. You very rarely see him go to ground and then making a foul. It's always a well-timed toe poke, ball away or grab the ball and then progress it forward. So I love him. I think he's brilliant. I've said that since we've signed him. We didn't see that much of him last season. And then we didn't see anything of him start of this season because he was on loan at Wimbledon from about four or five games in. But I think he's brilliant. Just pace is my only concern with him, and that will be the concern that Dave's got with him as well. But he's out of contract, isn't he? There's no guarantee that he will sign anyway, because we know that his family are down south and he may be given a better opportunity at a southern team. So it might not even be our decision to make at the end of the day. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, we'll touch on that at the end. Lemony Evans or Camps are probably the two best players. Final thing, ref watch, what did it come across like on the stream? Because I thought he was awful. I thought he was influenced a lot by them. He seemed to be giving them a lot more freedom than he was giving our players, and a few of the decisions that were going against us. I mean, the Paddy Madden yellow card, where they were just going, it was basically going out for a throw, and they just had a bit of a tussle with whoever it was, and he got a yellow card for it. He didn't even like properly tackle him or put him on the floor or anything like that. So I just think, I wasn't impressed with the referee. Did you say, Dan, that was he a championship referee?
Yeah, he's done most of his games this season in the championship. I think what was more annoying with that Paddy Madden one, I think there was a very, very same thing happened where one of our players was pulled down by a Wrexham player just literally minutes after that, and he completely ignored it, just gave us the free kick and didn't get the booking. It was a lot, I think he let go. There was a lot of grappling, horse full burn. There was a lot of, pie. I think Ollie Palmer's first chance of the game where he sort of hit it high and sky and wide, and I think Pye and Mullin are having a bit of a wrestling match on the floor before that. So I think the ref sort of knew what he was coming into and sort of tried to let it go a little bit.
But then I think he seemed to be giving the rubber of the green to Mullin. Seemed to be pulling it back for a lot of free kicks against Mullin. Whereas, as you say, maybe the first 15, 20 minutes, he was letting it go. Yeah. But then again, and I don't think, because we don't play the same way. We don't lump it up to Wotton, do we? We've stopped lumping it up to Wotton, should I say, and letting him try and hold it. And because you didn't see it, well, I don't remember seeing anywhere where Wotton was like pulled to the ground, but I don't think we played any balls in to Wotton or over the top for Wotton to try and get onto. So you know, maybe that was the difference. But yeah, from being at the match, I didn't think the referee was very good. What was your thoughts on the ref, Jimmy? Anything else to add to what we've said?
I mean, we got three bookings. They got none. It wasn't a particularly dirty match, and I thought it might have been, to be fair, with the lead up to it. He was definitely a homer. And I just wonder with him coming down, I mean, we can criticise referees however we want to, but you sort of think, okay, does he come down from the Championship? I wonder if he's not quite, hasn't been quite as used to the grappling side of things, which you get every single week in League Two. I don't know.
Or do you think maybe he was collected because of the aura around the game of it being basically the top two? You know, if you'd have said, you know, as you said, if that 5-0 had been the other way around earlier in the season, then this would have been for the title. So do you think that was always going to be a case that they were going to bring a Championship referee in because of the occasion, because of the two teams that were expected to be up there going for it?
They brought a Championship referee in, but he was no better than any of the League Two refs that we've seen this season. And he was definitely influenced by the home crowd, by Paul Mullin. We know what Paul Mullin is like when it comes to winning free kicks and penalties. I always think referees have a super hard job when it comes to deciding who to give a free kick to when it's grappling between a defender and a centre forward, and the defender's got like the centre forward's shirt like in his hands, and you can see their stomachs and their back, and then the player will go over and say, "Oh, look at the scratch marks that I've got on my body," and all this sort of stuff. So I think it's really hard to do that. And as I've said before on this pod, that the higher up that we go, I'm looking forward to less sort of physical challenges like that, and a little bit more keeping it on the ground, and the referees not having to make those sort of 50-50 decisions as to which way to give it.
Fair enough. Excellent. Anything else to add around the match, or anything else that we've missed, Dan? Anything else?
No, I mean, obviously you were there. Did you get to spot the plane?
Yes. We met up with Tim from Fearless and Devotion. So we was right behind enemy lines. We were basically in this massive courtyard and a pub just across the road from the ground. And there was four or five of us: me, Russ, his lad, Andy, and Jamie's brother, basically we were the only ones that were County fans. Everybody else was Wrexham fans. So fortunately, I think because we were talking to Tim, I think we were left alone. but yeah, we were literally just about walking to the ground, and the plane went over. So yeah, we were cheering outside. I don't think many people saw it properly inside the ground. I don't think it had a very good flight path compared to 2 years ago. But yeah. It was funny. It was very funny. And obviously that's rattled a few cages as well, hasn't it? But we can't mention that, otherwise I'm obsessed. Anything else to add, Jimmy? Or should we wrap it up there?
Yeah, I think the one thing that I would say is that, I mean, we're quick to call out the Wrexham players for shithousery, but we've got our own shithouses in there with Paddy and Sars. So I can see why they would wind opposition fans up, like Paddy's with his boombox getting off the...
That's brilliant. But you did see that there were the Wrexham players were laughing about it as
they
well.
People
were like patting him on the back and stuff. So yeah, that was quite good. Excellent. So yeah, so that is the last County Courtyard Club call for the season. It's been an exceptional season. I hope that you've enjoyed these Courtyard Club calls. Hope that the three of us have done a decent job so far for you guys. We will, as I said, we will hopefully be back doing some for the England games over the summer, If not, we will definitely be back doing these next year. For those listening on Patreon, again, thank you for your support as always. And just letting you know that we're going to be doing a bonus podcast tonight. So it was Monday, the 29th of April. We're doing a bonus podcast tonight around the squad list. This will be us basically having a look, going through the squad from all the way through the first team squad, players that we've got, who's out of contract, who we think we should keep, who we think's going to go, and anybody else in between. So we will be discussing that. It will be the three of us and also Andy from the Cheadle End that's been on the podcast the last couple of weeks. So that will be a bonus one. That's coming out for everybody, obviously, as it will be, the club will be releasing the list very shortly. So looking forward to doing that this evening. We'll get that out to you as quickly as possible. Apart from that, we have the normal Wednesday night live show, and we've got some really good guests lined up for over the summer. So we will be continuing over the summer. We might be taking a week or 2 weeks off separate times, or hopefully Russ won't be. I will be. So apart from that, thank you very much for joining us all season. Thanks for listening. Thanks, as always, Dan, and thanks, as always, Jimmy. Thank you very much, boys.
No worries.
No worries, mate.
See you later.
Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.